This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Monday, February the 8th, 2021. We are in the last weeks, if not days, of the Juju season. We are in the beginning days of Tamarind season. We are in Black History Month, and we are in the seventh year of the International Decade for People of African Descent. You're listening to On the Clock with Erin Green, and we are on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We are streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969, and if you get Flow on Channel 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Good morning. You guys hear that music in the background? Let me tell you all about something that happened this weekend in little old New Providence. Dusty old New Providence. Well, I was at one of them markets where the farmers sell their things for Saturday. And it's the end of a long day. I sell plenty vegetable. And I snitch on plenty people for not buying vegetable. By snitch, I mean I tell their grammy or their children or whoever was there with them that they spend up the money on, you know, fritters and benny cake and then they ain't buy no collard greens or broccoli or nothing like that. But we had such a wonderful time at the market today. I want to share with you all some of the magical things that be happening in Nassau. You hear that sound in the background? That song is becoming a viral hit. And we had our own viral moment in New Providence. So the DJ started playing this song. And you know, you could hear the feet start tapping. And you could see the shoulders start bumping. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful statuesque woman filled with bangles and bags took the floor and started doing the dance move. Right? She started teaching us this dance. And then, all of a sudden, I hear some people clapping. And when I look out the corner of my eye, Grammy. Now, look here. When I say Grammy, I don't know Grammy's name, and I ain't gonna call it because y'all don't need to know Grammy's a hot stepper. But Grammy started doing a thing and shaking that leg. And the whole market set afire. And everybody was dancing from 92 to 2, right? Because mom's great-grandchildren got out the car and they started Michael Jackson into the beat. Huh? That is community. That is magic. And that's what's happening all across your island every day. If you take the time, just take a moment to see clearly what is around you. Well, Bahamas, that's why I'm so excited today. I've been trying to learn that dance from Saturday because our dance instructor informed us that she's coming back this Saturday to make sure we know that dance. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, you go find that market. And if you don't know what market I'm talking about, come find me and I can tell you which market. Because we can be there celebrating life and all the good things about the Bahamas. We will be right back on the clock with Erin Green. Good morning, Bahamas. Oh,
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
When you get your child immunized, you are protecting him or her from diseases and also creating a safer community. It took many years for the Bahamas to get rid of infections such as polio, mumps, and measles. Keeping up with your child's immunization schedule so that they are fully protected can keep these diseases from coming back. The COVID-19 pandemic should not stop your child from getting immunized. Even if your child missed an appointment, they should continue with follow-up visits to catch up with their immunizations. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information or to make an appointment. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian 96.9 FM. As you heard, the weekend was filled with delights and activity, vegetables and meats, telling on people who ain't buy no vegetables. But the weekend was also filled with rumor and speculation about the remaining slots for ratification by the PLP and FNM parties. You see, we still caught up in distractions and not being able to focus on the right things. You see anybody talking about the candidates that have been ratified for the other parties like the DNA and the Bahamas Constitution Party and the BNCCP, and there are about 17 more parties. But we always seem to just focus on these two. But the weekend was filled with rumor and speculation about the remaining slots for ratification. The speaker resigned from the party. Apparently, after confirmation, he wouldn't be ratified, or maybe after learning of potential replacements. But since then, the news hasn't stopped. From former cabinet ministers to ministers and members in good standing, it is wild out there. And then someone asked the most important question. What if ministers don't even ratify himself? Then where will we be? Right? But we all know how social media works. So like Peter Tenkoes, I too will await confirmation from the council, allegedly. But I'm glad to see I could take that allegedly off the table after reading today's headlines. Apparently, he did say that that's what the man said to him. And I too am shocked. From former union members to incumbents even wondering if they're going to be ratified. When I tell you, Bahamas, this is a new day. I don't know if we have ever had a conversation and questioned whether an incumbent somebody who already ran the seat and have the seat, would not get the nomination from his own party. But with all of that floating in the air, all the news, all the talks, all the rumors, all the political war rooms machinating and apparently making the money they don't get paid to do the things they don't get paid to do. And on late Friday afternoon, the Prime Minister announced that marijuana will be legalized for medicinal use in the Bahamas. That's some news, hey, look at that. Medical marijuana. Now, and I'm excited. Now Bahamians requiring like hospice care, pain management, and chronic disease therapies can access more affordable and less invasive alternatives to traditional treatments and therapies, right? Medical marijuana. Now, mom don't have to be moaning all night, every night, because the knee pain and the dengue flare-up have her where it feel like the tennis ball pushing through her joints, right? She have an affordable, inexpensive alternative for care. I'm dead excited. And then I remembered, hold on, medicinal marijuana is already legal. There are already provisions in law that allow for the cultivation of medicinal marijuana. It allows for the cultivation and export of marijuana for medicinal use. The law allows for you to possess medicinal marijuana if it's prescribed by a doctor. All this time, marijuana has been legal. It's a controlled substance. And it can be grown or possessed or even administered with authorization from the quote-unquote relevant ministers. Now, that's a distraction, right? That is a distraction. Announcing you're going to do something that already exists. But there's something else going on in there. I mean, think about this with me. If medicinal marijuana is already legal, right? Like technically, it's already legal. You could go seek out the ministers responsible and seek authorization for possession, right? What are they announcing? Well, you remember the gaming referendum when we voted to legalize web shop gaming? But it turns out we were actually voting to regulate web shop gaming because it was already legal. Then it turned out the whole thing was just an opinion poll because we didn't need a referendum anyway to do any of the things they were talking about? Okay, that whole exercise, I think, was just about creating and legislating a gaming industry that only permitted a handful of owners and businesses to participate. Makes sense, right? Further, do you think this or any administration can or will pass this legislation and enact the enforcement and oversight mechanisms necessary to create an industry 1 year away from election? And then ask yourself this question. If they in fact do have all the mechanisms in place and all the legislation in place, what does that mean? Does that mean, just like gaming, what they're prepared to do is create a particular industry for a particular set of people? Now see, that's what's spectacular about Bahamian politics. That's a distraction within a distraction, right? That's the best kind. But then it gets even better, right? Then I sit in there wondering, who should I believe? Should I believe Peter Turnquest? Should I wait for the council? What's going on out there? And then we get the statement from the Prime Minister. announcing what he's doing. Now, let's take a pause here. I can read some text before I move into Minister's statement, right? Because Minister's statement deserves to be interrogated on its own. Because a person like me, when I saw Minister's statement, like I sitting there reading all the news, social media, the print news, trying to pull together what I could to, you know, get a sense of what's happening. I say, you really got to wait, Aaron, till you get the newspapers, till you can confirm that the statement that you're reading is actually from the prime minister or the person, you know? That's what we should be doing. I read Minister's statement, and I thought, okay, this makes sense, but there's a whole lot more to interrogate in there, too. So let me get to the text line dead quick, but let me open up the call, open up the phone line. Tell me what you think. Do you think I am right? Is that a distraction, the announcement of the medicinal marijuana bill? Do you think I was right? Do you think the Speaker of the House resigned because he felt that on a matter of principle, he could no longer be a part of this party? Or do you think he resigned because he felt like he was being maneuvered out of the picture? Do you think this whole weekend of rumor and speculation were distractions? And what are they distracting us from? So I'm going to my first text. The first text says, hi, I see election season has started and they're coming around our homes with masks. I have one thing to tell them. Take the mask off. You mean the actual, like, physical mask they're wearing for the COVID protocols, or the mask that is the political culture, right? The mask that is the performance when they come and they do their dance and they perform for you to try and win your vote. Another text, good morning, Aaron. I have not danced in years, but the song that you said Grammy danced to at the farmer's market caused me to dance. I am glad it caused you to dance. It is a celebration song. I think it is a gospel song, and it should cause you to dance, and I'm glad it did. Aaron, I like the fact that the FNM seems to take seriously the talk of corruption and potential scandalous behaviors. Not that anyone has been proven guilty, but eliminating distractions is good. And I got another text. Aaron, all this new medicinal marijuana talk by the prime minister is a smoke and mirrors distraction. He's trying to distract us from the other negative things going on with his government. Well, I agree with you there, texter. I do think that he's trying to distract us. But see, what I was saying when we ended the show on Friday to the last text, the point or the concern isn't that we're focused too much on politics. It is that we're focused on the wrong things when we focus on politics, right? I agree with you. I do think the announcement of the intent to pass medicinal marijuana legislation on Friday afternoon or on the weekend was a distraction. Right? I think maybe Peter Turnquest jumped the gun. Or maybe somebody leaked what was intended to be an internal private memo between FNMs, right, from Peter Turnquest to other members of his party. And that may have caused someone within the party to advise the prime minister that this would be the best time to announce a medicinal marijuana bill. But here's the thing. It's still something we need to pay attention to. Because if they indeed intend on passing this bill before the election is called, before the next administration, then it suggests to me that they have already carved out an industry. And they've already created a niche for a specific group of people. And we need to be seriously concerned about that in and of itself. Right? And maybe we want to demand that they halt the process. That's important. But secondly, we need to go in and ask some questions, right? How is it that you are prepared to legislate and create a medicinal marijuana industry, but you haven't completed the final report? Because the U.S. government clearly said that the commission will engage in wide public consultation before completing its final report and submitting it to government. I don't know if I haven't seen any wide publication of the intermediate report. I haven't seen any announcement of notices to attend meetings online or otherwise to engage further discussion. And certainly, I did not see the government come back to the people with a proposal that medicinal marijuana be the first tranche and then ask us what we think. And more importantly, just in case we don't understand how this thing go, there should be a space for Bahamians to listen to the opinions and perhaps professional positions of other Bahamians. We don't just want to hear what government officials have to say. We don't just want to hear what industry stakeholders and professionals have to say. We want to hear what each other have to say about it and get a sense of that as well, and then put our voices forward. So not only is it important that we look at this thing that may be a distraction for what it is, right? Like, is it an attempt to do something while we're not paying attention? But it's also important to look at it because it appears as if this is a pattern of behavior. This is a practice by politicians across the board. It's particularly, they like this word pernicious, it's particularly problematic. It's a problem, though, when the FNM do it. And here is why. We're not giving a bye to the PLP. First of all, let's say we ain't giving no buys to the PLP. But the FNM is a government that campaigned, right, with the promise of a government of accountability, honesty, and transparency. So yeah, we know the PLP do it too, but you specifically came to us, pointed out the lack of these virtues and characteristics in the PLP, and told us that you promised to bring these things to us in this new iteration. So that's why it's a problem, and it's a pattern of behavior. An absolute pattern of behavior that is both perpetuated by the PLP and the FNM, right? That's why I wanted us to look at that particular distraction. I got a couple more texts. Aaron, the speaker didn't resign because he was fighting for the country. He resigned because he couldn't get more power and his bathroom fixed. He is pathetic. See, like, if you told me that he ignored or participated in the perpetuation of sexism and misogyny in the House of Parliament and made the lives of particular women, specific women in the House and in politics, and women generally made their lives less safe by promulgating language that would suggest that women could be treated in a certain way, right? Then I would tell you he is pathetic. But what I read is that he is asking the government to honor its obligation to recognize the separation of powers between the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. But I got a call on the line, and I get back to some text. Caller, you are live on the clock.
Happy Super Bowl Monday, Aaron Green.
Happy, look here, happy Super Free Snacks Monday. Y'all is...
I hope you wasn't having a heart attack during those times to watch the Super Bowl.
Listen, let me tell you when I had my most stressful times. When they ran out of grapefruit soda. That I almost fall out on the ground.
Because, what do you like, grapefruit soda?
Because you can't drink bitters without grapefruit soda.
Yeah.
And then they ran out of crab salad.
You serious, Bahamians love it that much that they, oh my God.
What you think we go to Super Bowl for?
We are so Americanized. I can't talk too loud, though, because I enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, You know, and that's a conversation we can have because...
Yes, you got to have that.
It ain't just for me to say you're too Americanized because we are American. America is us.
Exactly. But you know, you're talking about the marijuana, and I gracefully support marijuana being legal for medical purposes. But I agree with you. It should have been a town meeting to discuss this among the community because I like to put my voice into it. You like to put your voice into it. But one of the things I don't want to see happen is the big giants, and that's what's going to happen, like the pharmacy and what have you, have control of the monopoly over it.
Right, absolutely.
Don't forget now, when they was legalizing gambling at a referendum, we thought, and I told them that, we thought that they thought when gambling is going to be legal, the small man is going to benefit. When they legalized it, the license was like $3 million, $4 million. I'm wrong.
Right, but you right, except you're wrong. It was already legal, right?
Yeah, I know, but
When they regulated it, they regulated the average Bahamian out of the
right.
Running.
You're right. You regulated because, remember now, this court, you mean you were in the same school of culture. The number man.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the number man?
Mm-hmm.
The number man to make the money on the street. When they regulated, I'll use that way too, the number man was left out.
Yeah.
And I keep telling the folks who want the marijuana to be legal for business economic purposes or medical purposes, a lot of the racist movement, a lot of them going to be left out.
Yeah.
Because Mark the punk either way. Based on my freedom of expression, the big guy, the pharmacies, is going to get a big market.
Absolutely, not just...
And here's what they're going to do. They're going to give them property, give you some land for Aaron Green and others to slave, to sell it to the big guys.
Yeah. They're like distractions, you know?
Yeah, big time. You're going to make it... You're gonna make your middle class money, and the big guy's gonna make his millionaire money.
Absolutely.
You're gonna satisfy some acres. You're gonna put food on your table, but guess what? You still was brainwashed by the slave mentality, or now the rat is making money. So it's him.
Right.
Watch the legislation.
Right, and that's what we want to see. We want to see the legislation. We want to see it with time to look at it before it is tabled. Why we only get to look at it when it's tabled, and that's if the media could get a hold of it and print it.
Not only tabled, but let's have a waste of the time, you know.
And well, let's restructure the way, restructure the way that we engage people, right? The digital access is great. But there needs to be a space where Bahamians can see and hear what other Bahamians are thinking, right?
Right.
Think about this. A lot of Bahamians are concerned about young people and their access to the substance. They're concerned about the continued growth of a culture where it seems like it's cool for young people to smoke, right?
So, exactly.
So we recognize, a lot of us recognize that adults should have access to it, even for recreational purposes.
Right, but even not even about smoking recreation. Oh, it's about so many things you could do with this good co-op.
Right, and so right, if we hear if older Bahamians could hear younger Bahamians expressing concern A for the impact on the lives of children and young people. How businesses making money intend on investing in social support systems to ensure that young people do not use it or young people who are using it have substance support, you know, substance abuse and support systems for rehabilitation and to keep them away from it, right? If older Bahamians hear younger people talking about industry and manufacturing versus just get high in the dance and boogaloo, then they may be more open to a dialogue about.
But you know, confuse them, Aaron, and I could say this because I am free to say this. the religious group are confusing people.
Ah.
They look at it one-sided. They look at it smoking your brain. So they're looking at it saying, or young daughters going, smoke that and turn prostitute. But that's just one side of it. That's
right.
The negative side of it, yes. But the other side of it is look at the industrial purposes.
Absolutely.
But that's the other side of it. Because cigarettes is legal. Everybody smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
I think it's more damaging than the crop itself.
Well,
this
yeah.
This thing is growing in the ground. This thing could make. I drink marijuana tea down in Jamaica.
Right, and listen, and the
Sorcy.
Yeah.
Drink Sorcy.
Yeah, another powerful bitters, another powerful medicine. And,
yes.
And also, we have to move away from allowing the sort of dominant culture to frame the discussion, right?
Right.
The dominant culture on tobacco is cigarettes is kill, and we ain't engaging any tobacco industry. We ain't growing no tobacco. Right? But guess what? Tobacco and cigarettes are are not the same thing.
Not the same thing, because cigars are different.
Right. Cigarettes have tobacco in them. Right?
Right.
And you can manufacture cigars and cigarettes that don't have...
But Jesse Cuban, too small cigar.
Right.
Just the
longevity.
Yeah.
Well, don't watch nothing. Here's the thing. We just think about tobacco as cigars and cigarettes.
Yeah.
We can be growing tobacco to make natural pesticides and insecticides.
Yeah, big time.
Right? There's lots of industry available. And that's why I like that book by Dr. Olivia Sanders, who I'm hoping to have on the show very soon, Tomato Economics, talking about moving, shifting your mindset from scarcity to abundance, right?
Uh-huh.
When you realize how much stuff you have available to you, then your mind...
God-given stuff to you.
Right. Right.
Right on your line.
Bang. But now, look here. I got to get back to this politics talk, man. Let's talk about minutes. Well, let's not talk about minutes.
Oh, no, you want me to go? Let's talk about minutes. What happened to minutes?
No. I'm saying I want to talk about the statement, right? The weekend started off with a whole bunch of rumor and speculation about ratification and who's going to get the seats, who's going to get candidacies, you know? And then they dropped this bomb about medical marijuana in the middle of that.
Election time.
Right, because it's a distraction.
Election time.
Right. But then, you see, I think somebody let the cat out of the bag and Minnis realized that he had to explain what his strategy is to people, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that a bit more.
So you want to talk about that? But, I mean, I ain't going to talk about that or...
Yeah, hang up for more and then call back because I got another caller on the line.
Sure.
All right. Caller, you're on the clock. I could hear you in the background, caller. You still there?
Yeah. Hey. I'm a secret admirer of you, girl. I love your show. So far, first time caller. You know, your show ain't been on that long.
No.
You know,
yeah.
First time caller to
your
show.
Thank you.
And I'm going to always listen to your show because I really admire your thoughts, Miss Green.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you see, look. The speaker realized that he was a part of a scrap gang. In fact, most of these political parties that we so adorn and worship, they're a bunch of scrap gangs. They try to pull people together in order to win the election, and then when they win, then they decide who they're going to allow to succeed or fail. But I feel as though we need to gradually move away or find a way to move away from these two scrap gangs. The PLP and the FNM. I call them scrap gangs because even the Dillon was part of a scrap gang when he used to rush.
The pigs.
So it's all scrap gangs.
Yeah, yeah.
We are real people who are concerned about moving this country forward, reducing our national debt. This recurrent deficit, man, come on, how come they can't see that? How come they can't see that the country is sinking because of their flaws? Because we put them there, but they're just trying to ride the wave. Is there any way, Aaron, that you could figure out that we could just get rid of these two scrap gangs?
Well, look here. First of all, you sort of got it. They are scrap gangs. They operate sort of like a scrap gang. They wait the last minute to come together and put something together, right? And that ain't...
Then they become dismantled later on.
Right, and so like that's a part of what I wanted to get to today, right? So this Minnis statement yesterday was so fascinating because it's almost as if you were bringing a new political strategy, right? Except you ain't never explained the political strategy to nobody. And you ain't never, like, did you ask your constituents, members of the party? Did you ask the people in the country how they felt about this strategy? But you know, more importantly, if you getting rid of these old boys, and I'm hitting on something you mentioned, if you getting rid of incumbents, right? Shouldn't you explain to the Bahamian people why you would feel the need to remove somebody who already won the seat?
Right.
Without, like, if you came to me with a petition from the actual constituents, the people that...
That's a different story.
Right. Then I would say, okay, I don't live in that constituency. Maybe I'm not living the issues that they're living, right? But even as a citizen in another constituent, here's a person who has said, look here, I, as a speaker, I'm focusing on ensuring that we hold true to the principle of separation of powers, that right. The executive, the legislature, and the parliament are allowed to operate as they should with no undue pressure
right.
from any of the other parts. As a citizen and as an advocate, I need you to tell me why you're removing that person from your party and why you won't let them run again. Because
you know what the real problem is?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian electorate, the people who elect these people, are not too concerned about the runnings of government. They only want to know my party won, and I'm going to sit back and watch the outcome, not realizing that these guys are cutting deals above your head.
Right.
That you're not going to benefit from. And they ain't going to tell you about it. I ask you again, Aaron, I don't want you to get in trouble with your radio station, but how do we get rid of these two parties?
Well, it starts by doing something that you just saying something that you just pointed out. Being able to show the Bahamian people that there is a difference between governance and politics, right? And that just because you can win an election doesn't mean that you can govern a country.
Exactly.
Once we can make that distinction in the minds of the Bahamian public, then we could say to the Bahamian public, look here, I okay with you pulling for your party, but I need you to ensure that your party members understand what governance is all about.
Right.
What I talked about last week, the obligations like the one that Halston Moultrie has focused on, the obligation to ensure the separation of powers, executive, parliament, legislature. And even
he's always been about that. He has always been about that, and he's right.
Right, even if you in cabinet, as a cabinet member, you have an obligation to ensure that even you or those that lead you or he or she that leads you, because it could be a she one day.
Hope so soon. How soon?
Boy, look here, it's up to the Bahamian people.
Mm.
It's up to the Bahamian people. I could put it to you like this. There's another interesting article in the paper today, I think it is, certainly it was on the news last night, where the commissioner of police said that the police are focused on domestic violence, right? And I hope that includes intimate partner violence as well, and interpersonal violence, because not everybody that lives in a home is in an intimate relationship.
Right.
And I want to say to the commissioner of police, the way to start is to focus on the RBPF.
The what? Sorry, I didn't
on the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Right.
Start there by ensuring that all of your officers have access to the training, to the education that you want to make sure the general public have. Educate them on the laws. Educate them on behavior, on standards, on the need for personal discipline, self-control.
But suppose they didn't get that early in life. When you reach 30 years old and someone trying to tell you to see the bucket at least half full instead of half empty, you still looking half empty?
Well, the problem is this. The commissioner of police has a duty of care for the whole country and the general public. So if you were sending officers out into the community to deal with domestic violence issues, it don't matter what they left their childhood with. Once they come into your force, You have a duty of care to ensure that they have
they follow
the
protocol.
And they have the training and they understand the issues involved.
Okay.
See.
Listen, I really hope that I can call you back again because I know that there's other people who want to call and I don't want to take too much of your time.
But
because you are so valuable, my dear. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for giving space to other callers. And please call back again. Because what I'm trying to do is, I know a lot of people say, I don't want to talk politics, right? We ain't talking the politics that we normally talk. I want us to be able to talk politics in ways that are more beneficial to all of us.
So you be careful because, you know, once someone's complained, then you don't have a job.
Boy, that's it. I agree with you. But ain't nothing that, you know, 100,000 cases of mangoes can't do.
Amen.
That's right.
Bless you.
Thank you, sir. So I'm going to get to these texts. I've got a text here. Aaron, I bet you over the last few years, thousands of acres of crown land have been given to those friends, family, and politically connected who will be dominating this new medicinal marijuana industry. That's how our country works. You know what? It is likely that that has happened, but here's what we can do. We can create a civil society organization that focuses specifically on transparency in land management. And we can start a small fund to produce the money necessary to pay for accessing and printing the laws, the legislation, the policies, the decisions that have been made. So we could seriously challenge that. But I feel you. Don't be disheartened. There are solutions. Great show as usual. A promise is a comfort to a fool. Y'all don't know that. Buddy, I know that. The Prime Minister's announcement of legalizing medicinal marijuana will give Bahamians the opportunity to access a new market by growing, selling, and exporting marijuana. I believe the FNM is more transparent than the PLP, hands down, considering all their secret deals that comes out after they lose elections. All for me, baby, is still the PLP theme. All for me, baby, is a national mantra. We have inculcated it. It is a part of our culture now. And unfortunately, we have created an environment where young Bahamians realize that to preserve self, they have to focus on self and not community. It's too late. It ain't just PLP and FNM no more. It's everybody. Got another text. My question is, where will this medicinal marijuana come from if it's still illegal to grow and import? I think you meant export. Like I said earlier in the show, I can explain it again. It is not illegal. Marijuana is not illegal. It is a controlled substance. It is like cocaine. It is a controlled substance. If it were illegal, the hospital would not be allowed to store and administer cocaine-derived medications like codeine and other things. It is controlled, which means that you have to have authorization to possess it, to grow it, to export it, to prescribe it. It is not illegal. And that is the crux of the discussion, right? Is this a distraction? Because you must know it's not illegal. Another text, Moultrie was showing the world that the Bahamas is politically dysfunctional, especially as he has to resort to judicial activism from the inside, showing what we all know. Well, see, not all of us know it. Not all of us knew it, and a lot of us still haven't caught on to it yet. There are a lot of things to be debated about Moultrie's time as Speaker of the House, but this is, I think, an honorable position and one that he is obligated, right? Like he have constitutional duty to ensure that these principles are being acknowledged and adhered to. Got another text. Ms. Green, FNM too straight. FNM. For a second, I thought you thought this was Junkanoo in Bay Street. Because sometimes you all just treat this like that sort of competition. And while, you know, the FNM may win too straight, that I don't have a problem with that. What I am more concerned about is who's going to be the loser. Because in this thing, you all set it up. Like, if the FNM win, the PLP going to be the loser. But sometimes the Bahamian people is the loser, right? That's why we need a more expansive or broader sort of way to look at politics, to dissect it, and to think about it. Got another text. Hi, yes, Erin, the proverbial political mask. That's the text that say, take off the mask. But the mask seems to have emboldened their campaign supporters to walk up to anyone's home. Hi, the PM dropped two bombs on the weekend. I need to look for those photos of Davis's wife he is talking about. First of all, caller, don't go look for the photos. Let the description he gave you be sufficient. Don't share it. Just know that it's vile. Just know that it's unnecessary. Just know that when he spoke out about that thing, he should have also denounced all of the political war rooms. And he should have closed the FNM war rooms down. In that moment, he should have told them, take whatever stipend you already get and go home. We can call you for duty to do something else. I got a caller on the line. Caller, you are the last call for the day. You are on the clock.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, morning. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, I am good, thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good.
I just wanted to add to your conversation that you're having regarding politics. It's very unfortunate in the Bahamas that even in 2021, as we begin 2021, we still don't have a responsible government that that is proud to run on their record. We have a government that, as the text came around with masks on their face, and they're still wearing those masks after nearly 4 years of their administration. And it's very unfortunate that, as you said, even if an administration is elected, that does not necessarily mean that the opposing administration loses. As we are experiencing currently, we are finding out that it's the people who are suffering through the failed policies. And we really need to elevate the level and the maturity in our country, the level of political discussion, the level of positive policies that are necessary in order to truly impact in a real and meaningful and tangible way the human lives and uplift us at the end of every 5 years in office being a full term. That is what is missing from the dialogue today. I would love to see an administration. I would love to see a disadministration where they can tout their record, even if it's one of failure. Tout it nonetheless, and let the Bahamian people have a lively debate and discussion on it, and let that be the determining factor on if you're reelected, and not the nasty, vile comments. Thank you for the opportunity, Aaron. God bless.
Thank you, Anton. Now, look here. Anton is an open PLP supporter. Anton, I hope you know that because of your openness, I also will engage you as an open PLP supporter. I like what you said just now.
I mean,
it's a great party piece, but I think it's important to remember Anton and others what some of the callers and texters, you know, have pointed out today. It is vitally important that politicians and particularly new candidates understand the difference between politics and governance. And what the PLP and the FNM have shown us is that they're very, very good at politics and winning elections. What they've also shown us is that they have a tremendous difficulty transitioning from politics mode to governance mode. And that's why we continue to see the sort of behavior that we see in matters that are really about governance, but get turned into politics. So like I said, I was really interested in Minister's statement today, because why are you not ratifying incumbents and not telling the people why you're not ratifying them? And we want real explanations, because there must have been some sort of breach, whether it's a breach of the party rules, the party conventions, whether it's a breach of parliamentary procedure, a breach of constitutional principles, or whether they broke the law. We deserve to know. Otherwise, this announcement of this brand new strategy is just a distraction. Plus, if you're getting rid of the old guard, but you're only giving these new guys less than a year to get in the game, then is it really a change in strategy? Because if you ain't got no new tricks, you're going to rely on your old tricks, right? I want us to interrogate this more. All of these things are important, not because they are politics, but because of how they impact governance. I got two quick texts. Hi, Aaron. All the former candidates not receiving renomination can be a feeder system for third parties. What are your thoughts? Boy, 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 I've been thinking about that, and we're going to talk about that, if not this week, next week. My last text, I hope I addressed it. Boy, Anton, you've made yourself a public figure. I hope you could take the critique. And later on in the month, if not next month, I will be inviting political advocates to come on air to talk about political advocacy and activism, right? And to interrogate some of the behavior that is going on. I want to end the show with this note. I don't think the Prime Minister went far enough in his condemnation or admonition of the political attacks on Davis's wife. This requires a fuller conversation. But please, Mr. Minister, now is the time to shut down the war rooms and, as this competent authority, declare that there is no space in Bahamian politics for that type of behavior. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green, Monday, the 8th of February. Thank you for joining me on the top of the week. Next is Levan Miller with Unleash. It only gets better from here, guys. Have a beautiful day.